Well, that's Harmony 3 Plus. Wow, that is really awesome. And so unique. That threw me back to those days when I used to listen to some songs like Sherry Baby. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? There was a new pastor who just got to his church and he thought, you know what? I think I'm going to do some home visitation. So he was out one Saturday knocking on parishioners' doors and visiting with the people. He got to one particular house and they didn't answer the door. He could tell that somebody was in there because he saw the curtains moving. So he wrote on a business card his name and Revelation 3:20. The next day they were in the office processing the offering, and that same card was in the offering bag. And under Revelation 3:20 was written Genesis 3:10. And the pastor thought, well, gee, I wonder what that is. I'm going to have to look that up in my Bible. Well, Revelation 3:20, you know what that is, right? It says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come into him and we're going to dine together." Well, Genesis 3:10 was the response of that parishioner. It says this, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked." A lesson well learned by some preacher, huh? Amen. I want you to know that God wants you to be more than you've ever experienced, go further than you've ever been, and do things that you've never dreamed possible in your life. You know, when you get up in the morning, you've really got to tell yourself the truth. God's for me. God's not against me. God loves me. God has a great plan for my life. God is going to do awesome and mighty things through me. That's why I love reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. If you could put it on the screen, I'd like for us to read it together out loud. I know that most of you probably have it memorized, but it's a simple verse that talks about what faith is. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Let's do it one more time for those of us that don't know it. There it is. Let's really belt it out. Ready? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You know, someone said, Jay Evans, he was quoted as saying, "God puts giants in your promised land or in the promised land to keep unbelievers out." You know, there's three types of believers. There are believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. I like what Walt Disney once said as well. He said, "It's kind of fun to do the impossible." And that's what I believe today, that when you and I operate in faith, we can begin performing the impossible. You might say, well, this relationship is impossible. Not when you're in faith. You say, well, my financial picture looks pretty dim. Not when you're in faith. You say, I don't know about my future. I've had such a terrible past. Not when you're in faith. I believe that faith is the ability to look beyond the storms of life and still see God. You and I have got to get a picture of God in spite of what we're experiencing. I believe that there are champions inside of all of us. I believe we're in the best city in the world. You know, people say, well, Cleveland hasn't won a championship in 46 years. Yeah, that may be true. But look at all the champions that we're producing and sending out to those desperate cities that can't live without them. Had it not been for Cleveland, these places would have never experienced the championships like CC Sabathia up there in New York and Manny Ramirez over at Boston and of course, King James down in Miami. You and I have got to realize that we come from a place where champions are built, where champions are grown, and where winners begin to take their position in life. You and I have got to begin to embracing the good and not allow ourselves to concentrate on the evil. You know what happens? Storms are nothing more than just when atmosphere changes and it brings conditions to the earth's surface. You know, when there's powers and principalities in the air, they are all, their goal is to bring a change to our natural experience and somehow convince us that God's no longer for us, or to convince us that the situation we're in now is too big for God. But I want you to know that just like every natural storm comes and goes, so do those attempts of the enemy to try to bring storms in our life so that we'll let go of the greatest asset God has given you and me, and that is hope. Notice what Hebrews 11:1 said. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to share with you next week that faith without hope can't work. And the devil knows that. Hope is the expectation of good. Faith is the substance of those things that you're believing for, that you know God told you that is yours, that God has spoke to you in covenant that you ought to be walking in, and you're expecting it to come to pass every day of your life. So the devil will attempt to create storms in your life to somehow discourage you, to take away your courage to believe God, to somehow evaporate all your hope so that you don't believe that God is going to give you what He's promised or that it will never come to pass. That's why today, this world, this generation needs their hope restored. Some of us are here today wondering, is God able to do what He said He could do? Well, I want you to be encouraged, because even while the devil's trying to discourage you, God, by His Holy Spirit, has sent me this morning, put shoe leather on, throw some clothes on, comb my hair, that's right, I did comb it, put my glasses on, get my Bible, and declare to you that if God be for you, who can be against you? And you and I need to know that the champion inside of us is about to rise up. Amen? There's a great story in Acts chapter 27. It's a story of Paul. And Paul was being transported to go under arrest into Rome. And the centurions had shackled him and placed him in custody on that boat. And Paul told him that it wasn't a good idea to get on the boat and to sail. But nonetheless, they decided to do it. And if you want to follow along, you can follow this story in Acts chapter 27, because I think it'll be an inspiration to you. See, sometimes we think things are going well, and then suddenly verse 14 appears. See, in Acts 27 in verse 13, the Bible says that when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. Please put verse 13 up if you can. Verse 13 is when things are smooth sailing. Verse 13 are when the winds aren't blowing and the wind is not driving in gale force the rains that are falling. Verse 13 is when everything is going well and you don't really think you need God, or you really don't think you need faith. But the facts are, you're only one verse away from this tempestuous storm, this hurricane that suddenly blows in. And what was just a gentle wind yesterday turns into this violent storm today. And I know that the enemy is going to try to send storms in your life. And here's his goal: to rip out of your heart and my heart hope that God will do what He said He will do. Because when the winds are just gentle and the sun is shining, we're all believing God, aren't we? We're standing in faith. We're happy. We're believing Him. We're worshiping. We're praising Him. We're going on our way. But suddenly, when the dark clouds roll in, winds begin to blow, things get real hairy around us, and His goal is to take hope out of our heart, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you have no more hope, your faith will not work. But the devil loves to bring discouragement to people of faith. But I want you to be encouraged today, because if God told you that you're going to get to Rome, then it doesn't matter what storm arises. It doesn't matter what other people do around you. It doesn't matter how many people jump ship on you. God said, stay in faith. I want to encourage you today that God is going to do exactly what He said He told you He would do. Nothing is going to change that. Would you gently tap somebody and say, stay in faith. When storms arise, you must never allow discouragement into your heart. This is something that I've had to work on very diligently in 34 years of pastoring. It's real easy to allow storms to take my courage. It's real easy to allow what people think or say or do to take my courage. It's real easy to allow circumstances that develop in and around my family to take away my courage. But I've learned that I've got to stay in faith. And I've learned that I've got to remain hopeful that God will do what He said He will do. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 31:24, he said this, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. In other words, God says, I know right now that you're in a battle, but you don't give up your courage. Stay in good courage. I'm about to strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The psalmist said this in the 71st Psalm, verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God, for you are my trust from my youth. You know, there's going to be times in your life where people are going to bail on you. People are going to betray you. People are going to walk out on you. People won't be there like they said they would. But how many know people didn't create the heavens and earth? People didn't breathe life into you. People didn't redeem you. And people aren't coming a second time to bring you into glory. Amen? It's God and God alone. So put your hope in God. Amen? Trust in God. Don't trust in people. I'm going to guarantee you right now, people will fail you. He goes on to say in the 146th Psalm, verse 5, I love this verse. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Jeremiah 17:7 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You got to get the attitude that says, you know what? I know things are dark and dreary right now, but I believe that God is for me. I believe that from my youth I've trusted in Him and God has never let me down. Let me just do a little commercial break this morning or this afternoon. Let me ask you this question. Has anybody in this room ever been touched by God in your physical body and you know that God restored you to health? Can I see your hand? All right, I want you to look around and look at all those hands. Matter of fact, just bear with me. Every person whose hands raised, would you stand to your feet? Now, these are testimonies of people that said, there was a time when my body was weak and God showed up and made me strong. There was a moment in life when I was sick and God made me well. Look at somebody and say, if He'll do it for you, me, He'll do it for you. Come on now, tell them. You can be seated. You got to remember that no matter what you're going through, you're still in the hands of God. I'm still in the hands of God. You might have let go. My family might have let go. My boss might have let go. The doctor might have let go. But God will never let us go. And we have to remember that in the moment of the battle. Acts 27 in verse 31. This is what Paul told the people. He said, I want you to stay in the ship. He said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless you and these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. I'm going to say that the ship is faith. And Paul's saying, unless you stay in faith, you can't be saved. This is not a time in our lives when we got to start doubting God or doubting His plan for our life. The devil likes to whisper in our ear and say, you're disqualified. Look what you've done. Look how you disappointed your parents. Look how you disappointed your spouse. Look how you failed and engaged in that sin. And suddenly you become discouraged and you give up hope. Don't you dare do that. Don't make me come back there, because I believe that God has not changed His plans for you. I want you to do something today when you go home or on your way home. I want you to look up Jeremiah where he says, I know the plans that I have for you. And I want you to see whether or not the Holy Spirit took a supernatural eraser and took that verse out of your Bible. Because if it's missing, then you go ahead and get discouraged that God's given up on you. But if you go to that scripture and you find in Jeremiah, is it 23:11, that it's still there, that means that you might have failed last night, but God still believes in you this morning. You might have had a problem yesterday, but God still believes in you today. You may have had others who've given up on you, but God will never give up on you. Can you say praise the Lord? Now that's important to know. You've got to stay in faith. And unless you stay in faith, you can't be saved. You've got to stay in faith. Don't waver. Don't give up. Keep believing. You know, there's times I'll look in my mirror in my bathroom and I'll declare to myself, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. Then I make it personal. And I said, you hear me? You will not be defeated and you will not quit. Then I get really a little attitude and I put my hand on my hip and I point and I say, listen, bub, I'm talking to you. I swear I do this. I swear this is not an illustration. I do this. You will not be defeated, and quitting is not an option. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Now go out there and win. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do that. And Paul said that in Acts chapter 27 and 30. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, they had let down the skiff into the sea and under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship. Sometimes when we go through trouble, we get out of faith. That's the place you need to stay. Sometimes when discouragement is tempting us, and we're getting ready to give up hope, man, that's where we need to stay. We've got to get a word. We've got to build up our faith. We need to begin praying in the Holy Spirit, making ourselves strong, knowing that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against atmospheric changes that are trying to affect my natural pathway. But I know that I belong to God, and God belongs to me. And I am not going to throw away my confidence, according to Hebrews 10 and verse 35, that has great reward. I'm not going to give up now. Listen, I've come way too far to give up now. I'm about to cross the finish line. And all of those who gave up on me, all of those who thought I'd never make it, all of those that walked out on me, they're going to have to watch me cross the finish line. And not only cross the finish line, but get the crown of righteousness given to me as I'm welcomed into glory as more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Sometime when people get discouraged, they get real heavy. You can really see a person who's talking negative and how they respond. You know, they got rolled shoulders. They kind of shuffle their feet and their head's hanging over. And they're really not joy-filled. They can't get a smile on their face. But you have to understand the key to allowing hope to come back into your heart. And that is, don't let the enemy weigh you down with all kind of negative thoughts. You've got to understand that God is going to be a God that will never leave you and never forsake you. And that He is excited about your future. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalm 24 and verse 9. I like this scripture because it is so pointed. It says this, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I want you to read that with me now that it's on the screen. Come on, say it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. A lifted head is the one that sees the King of glory. And the devil's trying to get you to hang your head. Don't you hang your head around here. You may have done what they say you did, but you are not who they say you are. When you walk through these doors, we believe in you. We celebrate you. We want to rejoice with you. You're on your way to recovery. You're on your way to restoration. And just like the father whose wayward son finally made his way back, he said, somebody make a party. Somebody go get a robe. Somebody get a ring. Somebody get some sandals. Somebody strike up the band. For my son who was dead is now alive and he's on his way back. Listen, you are on your way back. And don't you allow the enemy to tell you that you'll never be received. You will be received, and you lift up that head, and you expect to see the King of Glory. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you don't allow the enemy to discourage you, you are pulling out of his hand the greatest weapon against you. Let me say it again. Discouragement is the devil's number one enemy, number one tool, number one weapon of choice to bring you and me out of faith and to bring destruction into our life. That's why I got to choose my friends carefully. I want to have good friends, but I want to have people that'll stay in the ship. Even when we're in the middle of the storm. Somebody told me this the other day. They said, Pastor, I've learned something. That many times when trouble comes, like to a congregation, maybe they go through a difficult time, the sheep follow the sheep instead of the sheep following the shepherd. If the shepherd didn't walk, then the sheep may not need to walk either. I don't know about you, but I'd rather follow a shepherd than walk too close behind another sheep, if you know what I'm talking about. You see, God wants you to stay in faith. And until God tells you to move, then you stand your ground. You say, I will not be defeated. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to begin to believe that God is able to do what he said he will do. Yeah. Now, it's interesting in this whole chapter in Acts chapter 27 that these sailors were jumping ship. These sailors were doing everything they could to save their life. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Paul gave them a word and said, stay in the ship and you're going to be saved. They didn't receive that word, and so they jumped into the ocean and they perished. Listen, if you'll stay in faith, God will bring to pass what he's promised you. But I want you to look at Acts 27 and verse 29. Acts 27 and verse 29. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Sometimes you're in such a battle and such a struggle. You think, God, when is this going to be over? God, you're crying out, Lord, send the light. Let the sun rise again. God, I can't take anymore. And you know what I'm talking about. Your heart is broken. Your disappointment has come. People have left you. Situations have broken down. But notice what they did. They dropped four anchors. I want to share with you in the next couple of minutes what those four anchors are or could be in your life when you're in the middle of the battle for your destiny. The first one, I believe, is what Paul said in Acts 27 and verse 24. He stood there on the deck of that ship being tossed and turned. And he said, do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. What he was trying to tell them is, I heard God give me a word. Before this storm ever came, God said, I'm going to stand before Caesar. And just because this storm came doesn't mean God changed his mind. Just because I got the layoff notice hasn't changed God's mind that he'll meet all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Just because this person lied on me and betrayed me doesn't mean that God's changed his mind about me, that I'm the apple of his eye. You understand, Paul got a word from God. And so he stood there in the midst of the storm. And the first anchor that he threw out was this. I've got God. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that you've got God. You may not have others that you thought you would have. You may not have the support that you wish you could have had. You may not have all of the accolades of a generation who believe in you like you wish you could have. But let me tell you, it's what you do have. You've got God. And when you've got God, you have the one that is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. That means he's already on the shoreline making a fire, cooking some fish, ready to meet you at the point of your need. That means he's already got a plan when he came to the tomb of Lazarus and declared, "Roll away the stone." That means he already knew that all that woman had to do was touch the hem of his garment and virtue would leave and she would recover and have life. He already has a thought and a plan for your future. You have God, omnipresent, but not only omnipresent, he is omnipotent. He is the most powerful God. He is powerful enough to bring that thing which was dead back to life, that thing which was blind to open up their eyes, that little bit of fish and loaves to feed a multitude, that kind of a God that's powerful enough to walk on a storm, to speak to a storm, and to declare that they can be loosed from everything that binds them. You understand? You have God. He is an omniscient, omnipresent, and he is an all-powerful God. Number two, you've got faith. Acts 27 and verse 25, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." I've got to let you know that there are times in my life I feel totally disqualified for what I do. Matter of fact, I'm going to be real transparent with you. This morning when I was preparing and I was praying and reading my Bible, I felt an overwhelming sense of inadequacy. I felt like, "God, I can't go up there and do this again. I'm not going to do well. I'm going to blow it. I'm not going to be able to preach like other people can preach." And all these thoughts kept bombarding my heart. You say, "Well, where are they coming from?" Well, they're coming from the storm that was beginning to brew in my life. And suddenly I had to realize, wait a minute, I've got God. And if I've got God and me, well, that's a majority. That means I can do all things through him. And I really had to begin to tell myself that. But the thoughts came back again, kind of like the way the waves bash up against the side of that ship and begin to make it rock. And all their security was suddenly leaving them. And I was feeling very insecure. I was feeling very vulnerable about my assignment to be a pastor of a church. You say, "Well, gee, after 34 years, you ought not to have those kinds of troubles and those kinds of problems." You know, the only weapon the devil has against me is to steal my courage, to take away my hope. And I realized that I was in a storm, and I, like Paul, had to throw out some anchors. So I said, "Anchor number one, I'm with God. Anchor number two, I realize something, that I've got God, but I also have a word from God. I also understand that I've got faith in what God said." God said to me, and I'll never forget it, it was about 37 years ago, I was kneeling at an altar and I was praying and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, "I'm going to call you to preach, and you're going to preach not only to hundreds, but you're going to preach to thousands." And I was so scared when I heard that. I thought, there is no way that I'll ever do that. But I had to go back in the middle of that moment of discouragement this morning and say, wait a minute. Not only do I have God, I've got faith in what God said. I remember God showing me when Charles Greenaway, an old missionary, powerful man of God, was preaching in the pulpit of this little church. Matter of fact, it's the church I pastor now. There was about 42 people there that Sunday morning. And he was preaching, and he was talking about Jesus saving a generation. I was sitting somewhere back in here, and I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "That's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to preach. That's what I've called you to do." And I said, "God, you must have gotten the wrong man, because that's not me. That's somebody else, either right or left of me, but that can't be me." And God said, "Oh no, it's you." So in the moment of discouragement, I got to go back and say, wait a minute, this is what God said. And suddenly that anchor will grab hold of a rock, and it'll stabilize that battle that I'm in the midst of. You see, not only do I've got God, but I've got faith in what God said. Look at somebody and say, stay in the ship. Number three. You see, if I didn't have God, if I didn't have faith, somebody else would have been preaching this morning, because I wasn't coming. Number three. You're looking at me funny. I look back at you funny. Acts 27, verse 23. Scripture simply says this: "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve." In other words, I've got a confession. Not only do I have God, not only do I have faith in what He said, but I've got a confession. In other words, I'm about to repeat what He told me. And this is what He told me: "If all of you stay in the ship, not one of you will be lost." God told me that I'm going to stand before Caesar. And I know that no storm, no matter what level hurricane it might be, no matter how the ship is breaking apart, that has absolutely nothing to do with what God said. I've got a confession. So right around the middle of all the storm, when everybody else is jumping ship, when everybody else is wondering what you did to cause all this trouble, I stand up in the middle of it and sing. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art!" Because I've got a confession in what God said. Matter of fact, put my scripture up there out of Mark. I want you to read this with me. This is something that you need to learn to begin to decree and to declare over your life in the middle of the storm. Come on, ready? "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." You see, I've got God, I've got faith, but I have a confession. And I'm not going to allow anybody to take away the anchors of my soul. But not only do I have God, not only do I have faith, not only do I have a confession, I've got agreement. I want you to see something in this text that I believe will help you in the midst of a trouble or storm. Because the scripture says in Acts 27 in verse 1, that Paul said when it was decided that we should sail to Italy. Now, he wasn't just talking about the centurion and the crew. There were a couple of buddies with him. One was named Luke, who recorded this whole incident under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There were other companions of Paul. Sometime when you're in a battle, yeah, I've got God. Yeah, I've got faith. Yes, I have my confession. But I need some companions who will believe with me that God will do just what He said He will do. And I believe Luke and his buddies were right there with Paul, amening him while everybody else was jumping ship. That's why it's so important for us to come to the house of God and get a word. That's why it's so important for you to delve into your word every day and get a personal word from God. Why? Because you might be in verse 13 right now. Smooth sailing. Winds aren't blowing very hard. You're enjoying your life. You're on the raft sipping iced tea. Sun is shining down. You're listening to music out of the Bahamas. That Caribbean, you know, tunes. You're having fun, and you'd have no idea that just on the other side of the horizon is verse 14, about to make its way right to where you are. But see, you don't want to go find a word when you're in the midst of 14. You want to go into verse 14 with the word. And that's why I always look for a word. And I say, "God, I thank you for this word. I don't really need it right now, but I know I'm going to put that in my pocket, because I just might need it on tomorrow. Because I got a feeling 14 is on its way." The Bible didn't say if storms will come. It said when storms come. And I'm going to be ready so I can anchor my soul. How am I going to anchor my soul? I'm going to anchor my soul knowing that I've got God. I'm going to anchor my soul. How am I going to do it? Knowing I've got faith. How am I going to do it? Knowing that I've got a confession. And how am I going to do it? Knowing that I've got people that believe in me. That's why I had to come today. That's why I had to be around you. That's why I have to welcome you, and I have to talk with you, and I have to let you pray for me and me pray for you. Because sometimes we're in the middle of a struggle and in the middle of a storm, and the people around you in your life, they don't believe because they're jumping ship on you. Your friends are jumping ship. Your family's jumping ship. Your co-workers are jumping ship. Everybody's walking out. But if I can get to the house of the Lord, I know I can find a couple of people. I know I can believe somebody who's going to say, I believe it, Pastor. I stand in agreement with you. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're the heel of the Lord. God wants to bless you and prosper you. God's going to bring you out. It's only a matter of time. And you're going to walk around blessed. I stand with you. Let's shout now and believe God. Hallelujah. That's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who will help me through my storm. In Acts 27 and verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. Think about that. Some of us have been in a struggle so long, we haven't seen the sun shine, we forget what it looks like. All we've been doing is experiencing these winds and these rains and these floodwaters. It's like, God, is there life after this storm? He said, for many days, sun or the stars couldn't see a thing. No small tempest beat on us. I mean, it was relentless. It was not moving. All hope or expectation that we were going to be saved was finally given up. They got to a point in their life where all they could rely on is what God said. Verse 22, Paul stood on what was left of that breaking up ship and he said, take heart. In other words, he was saying, get your hope back. Don't let go of it. Because when you let go of hope, God intervening in your life, you're not going to have anything. But if you'll stay in faith, you'll stay with the ship, you are going to make it. Now, I know they probably thought he was absolutely insane, that he was going crazy. Did you ever have anybody around you ever think you were a bit loco for believing God's word when it didn't even look like it could possibly come to pass? Have you ever had faith like that when you thought, but God, if God doesn't do this, we're not coming through. If God doesn't do this, we're not making it. Can I get a testimony of a raise up hand so somebody knows what I'm talking about? That, but God, right? And everybody around you thinks you are the foolish person. You have gone crazy. You've taken this thing way too far. But where are thy accusers now? Look what God has done, right? He did do exactly what he said he would do. Verse 44, and the rest, some on the boards, some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Think about that with me. Some on boards, some on pieces. Some people grabbed hold of a splintered mast. And here they go bobbing around right to the shoreline of Malta. Others hiding down inside of a supply chest. They're paddling along trying to get to shore. Others on just pieces that couldn't even be identified with what part of the ship it was. But they clung to it. And because they held on to it, it was faith. Sometime your faith isn't going to be a big battleship. Sometime your faith is going to be just a little splinter. Sometime your faith is just going to be a broken piece. But you know what? If you stay with that piece, God will bring you to the shoreline. Let me tell you what I think they are. I believe that the boards that they were floating on is God's grace. And the pieces are God's mercy. You may have, all you have today is just pieces left. But let me tell you, mercy is enough to bring you to the destination that God has already outlined for you. You say, all I've got left is what was, a semblance of what was. That's all I've got. Pastor, you don't know. All I've got is this one board. Let me tell you something. Grace is sufficient. It's enough to bring you in to the place of God's purpose and God's destiny. I believe the boards are grace and the pieces are mercy. And I believe the captain of your faith knows how to navigate you through any kind of circumstance. Church, I want to encourage you today, stay in faith. Don't you give up. Don't you walk away. Don't you let the devil discourage you. It is a lie. It is not true. God is not mad. God has not given up on you. And you say, well, yeah, but look at all of this. No, no, no. You get your eyes off of that. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. I believe it's people with lifted heads that'll see the King. People that have a head that's fallen will miss the deliverer of your situation. So lift up your heads today and believe that God is about to come in, the King of glory, to manifest everything that you might have need of. God is wanting to change your situation, correct the problem. God is wanting to pour out unusual favor upon this generation. I just believe that once we start agreeing with it, we're going to see it manifested. I believe once we start hoisting the anchors overside, we're going to see God do miraculous things. You've got to make a choice today. Make a decision. Some of us are wavering in our faith. Some of us have no faith. Some of us have little faith. But whatever you have, stay in faith and believe that God is in your life. Secondly, that you have faith in what He said. Three, that you can begin to fill your mouth with what He told you. And four, you've got somebody in this place that'll agree with you. If you can't find anybody else, you come talk to me. I'll agree with you. If you can't find anybody else that will believe in you, you come talk to me. I'll believe in you. I'll celebrate you. I'll rejoice with you. But you know what? I got a feeling you're going to find a lot of people, because every person in this room this morning are people that are believers and not make-believers. They're not doubters. They are people that walk in faith. And they believe that God is about to do some of the greatest things that He has ever done on the planet Earth. How many of us believe that God has a great plan for Northeastern Ohio? It's a city of champions. Don't you give up on that. It's a city of champions. It's a city of winners. It's a city of those that God is releasing in the earth to do great things in the earth. So I want to pray for you today. And I want to believe, God, that no matter what storm you're in, you're going to make it through. And not only make it through, but fulfill your destiny. You know what happened when they got to Malta? Malta was filled with heathens, pagans. Malta was filled with vipers, poisonous. Malta was filled with all kinds of sickness and disease. Isn't it interesting that that broken up ship, even though they stayed in faith, wondered about what was happening in their life, they got to the shoreline, and literally because they stayed in faith, changed an entire island, changed an entire people, brought healing to a dying man, released the poisonous vipers that would often kill and torment and destroy and bring victory into those people, and see the revival spread. Sometimes the greatest victory is not necessarily going to be yours. It might be somebody living on Malta. And God is going to take what the devil meant for evil, the storm, get you there on grace and mercy. Don't make me preach. And come right to the shoreline and walk into a difficult situation and say, I'm here by divine appointment. You say, how do you know that? Well, let me tell you what I just came through in order to get here. God must love you an awful lot, because He brought me through all that mess so I can get over here and lay hands on you and cast out the devil and bring the victory into your life. Amen? If you're going through a storm this morning and you say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you that there are people standing across this room. God, you know they're going through storms. You know they're going through trouble. You know they're going through a dark time. But Father, they're not alone. They've got you. Now I'm praying, God, that you be so big in their life that they see nothing else but the face of God. Oh, hallelujah. The face of God being revealed to them right now. Thank you, Lord. I believe, God, not only will they see you, but Father, they'll stay in faith. They have faith in you and what you said. God, they're going to begin to fill their mouth now to speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea and believe that we can speak to the storm. I thank you, Lord God, that they've got agreement in this place right now. That there are people all over this room who believe with them that if God is with them, He's going to be for them. And if God's for them, He's going to bring them through. Now, while they're standing there, I want the rest of our congregation to look around and find somebody that's standing. I want you to look at them, and then I want you to go to them. And I want you to agree with them and say, look, I'll be your traveling partner. I'll stay with the ship. I'll stay in faith. Come on, find somebody. Go to them. Lay hands on them. Begin to pray for them. Father, pray strength into them. I pray victory in their life. I pray encouragement today. I come against discouragement. I believe, oh God, that you are able. Lord, I trust in you. I believe you've got a great plan for them. I know they're going to break through. They're not going to break down. Touch them, Lord, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And with all that, we'll begin to give you the praise. We'll begin to give you all the King's glory. We know that the King of glory is about to come in and do a miraculous thing in our life. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Lift your hands in worship and bless his name. Come on. In the middle of the storm, I will bless.
I will bless the Lord forever. I will bless your holy name. Yes, I will bless the Lord forever. I will bless your
Now, for those that you're praying for, ask them their name. Ask them if they want to share with you what the storm is. Ask them how you might help them. Why don't you do that? I will bless the Lord forever.
I will bless your holy name. Yes, I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless your holy name.
Come on. I will bless you, Lord.
I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless your holy name. Yes, I will.
Church, I want to encourage you. I don't know how many of these we have left. Hardy, one of the ushers, how many of these do we have? Do you have some? These are our door hangers, and we want you to take them and pass them out this week. Also, we have invite cards, and I want you to take them and pass those out this week. They're free. And invite somebody to be a part of one of, I believe, the greatest communities of faith that I know of, and that is this house. I love my church. I love all of you. You are awesome people of faith. And so invite somebody to be a part, and they can pick up their free book on the way out today. Also, on Wednesday night, we don't want you to miss the midweek opportunity for church. Now, I want to announce something, too, I think I'm pretty excited about. Beginning in July, on the 11th of July, we're trying to secure Red Oak, is it called, in Garfield Heights, Red Oak Park. And I want to take the church service to the park. So we won't have church in here. We'll go to Red Oak Park in Garfield Heights. We'll have some worship. I'll preach a message. You can bring your friends and family. Put on your shorts and flip-flops. We'll cook some hot dogs and hamburgers. Bring some food to share. Bring a frisbee, cornhole, whatever else. And let's hang out. And we'll do that on the 11th, on the 18th, and on the 25th. We'll do it for three Wednesday nights in a row. And that will kind of be our church picnic this year, okay? So we can really enjoy each other, get to know each other. And I promise not to preach long, but you can bring your friends and family. That's kind of a non-threatening atmosphere. You'll hear more about it. We just haven't secured the park yet, but I believe God's going to give it to us. Well, live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time. God bless you. We love you.